Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good Sunday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut here on WTIC and WTIC-FM. Sam Gingerol, your host, as we are now in the last Sunday of the month of November, and we have a couple of guests with us today. First of all, we're going to be talking to a really intellectually confounding, but certainly mysteriously interesting topic, and it's about genetics. And we have with us, as our first guest this morning on the show, Dr. Brent Gravely is with us, and you're a geneticist, and what is it, biologic development, professor of biological development?
Yeah, genetics and developmental biology
at the UConn Health Center. And you're going to be doing some very, very interesting work. You've got a grant from the National Institutes of Health to study the human genome. Now, most people, you start talking about genetics and genomes and all this sort of verbiage, people's eyes glaze over. Now, I know we've already sort of mapped the genes that are part of our DNA, so this is something sort of above and beyond that, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So in the beginning of the century, so in the 2000 or so, the Human Genome Project was finished, and so they had the complete basically spelling of the human genome, so they knew...
Right.
There's three billion letters in the human genetic code, and so we were able to figure out the exact order of all of those in our chromosomes. And from that, we were able to essentially identify all the genes.
Right.
So humans have roughly 20,000 genes in that 3 billion letters.
Right.
But the mysterious part is it turns out that only about 1% of our DNA is really the gene part. Mm-hmm. So... out of 3 billion letters, you know, a very small fraction of that is the gene. So one of the big mysteries is, what is the rest of the DNA doing? And so a lot of what we're trying to figure out now is, what is the rest of that genetic code doing?
Where do you start with something like that?
Well, that's a good idea. So we know that most of the rest of the DNA is really involved in controlling these genes and determining whether they're on or off. They're switches, essentially.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you have, there's a gene that would control your eye color. So you don't need to turn the gene that would make your eyes blue on in your skin, or else we'd all look like avatars.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure it's on in your eyes and off everywhere else.
Right.
And so there's little switches in the DNA that turn each gene on and off at the appropriate time in the appropriate place. So we're really trying to figure out, you know, what all these switches are and where they are and when they're active.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the goal at the end of this research, and we'll talk about timetables and whatnot later, is to have sort of build a sort of encyclopedia of all that DNA information so that everybody can share it and look at it and refer to it. Is that it?
Exactly. Yeah. So the real goal of this is to, you know, for every one of the 3 billion letters in our genetic code is to figure out what it does. And so the idea then down the road is, you know, if a person has a disorder and you go to your doctor, and it's now really quite feasible to actually sequence the DNA of each patient. So you could go to your doctor, sequence it, figure out what mutations it is that you have. And then by comparing it to this encyclopedia, you would now have an idea of what it is that's going on that's causing you to have a disease.
Right.
And hopefully, if we know enough about how that process works, we might actually be able to come up with a novel treatment for that disease.
How about cure?
Well, cures are each disease is really sort of its own
entity. Combination of ons and off switches,
Right. And even within particular disease. So, you know, the mutations that cause cancer are different in almost every single cancer type.
Right.
So there's really no magic bullet that can be used to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be true for a lot of other diseases as well. So different mutations are going to cause different problems.
Yeah. So in other words, you'll be able to treat it much more effectively, but cure it, that's another...
Curing it is really a difficult thing. Treatment is much more feasible.
Yeah. And what would that do for people who have various, you know, like diabetes or a certain form of cancer or some other genetic sort of diseases?
Well, again, it really depends on what particular disease it is a person has and what the, particular mutations it is that they have. But really the goal of this project is to just sort of you know, from a basic, a real basic level, figure out, you know, what every letter in our genetic code is doing so that we can use that information to advance human health.
Mm-hmm. Now these codes, they're like combinations of genes or?
So the codes are basically, so there's four different letters in our DNA. And so it's G's, A's, T's, and C's are the spellings that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And they just specify different chemical compounds in our genetic code. And so it's really the order of those G's, A's, and T's, and C's in along the 3 billion
strands
mm-hmm. that really determine sort of what things are.
I think a lot of people have actually seen the pictures of representations of DNA. It's like that spiral staircase.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's referred to as the double helix. So it's two strands and they go in opposite orientation. They sort of twist around and it looks exactly like a staircase or a twisted ladder.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier, we have two sets of those in each cell of our body?
Exactly. So so when we refer to 3 billion letters, that refers to just one copy. But each of us, in every single cell that we have, you have one copy from your mother and one copy from your father. So there's actually 6 billion letters in every single cell in your body. And then there's billions of cells that make up the human body.
Right.
So, you know, there's a really a massive amount of DNA in each of us.
That's just mind-boggling.
It is.
But there's a lot of information, right?
It is.
How much hair you have on your arm, or if your nostril's going to flare out, or if it doesn't, how much cartilage you have in your ears, the size, and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, it has almost everything to do with how we look and behave. And then you have the environmental aspects on top of that.
Right. And you were speaking earlier, as far as mutations, this is not really going to be very helpful because mutations just happen. Right.
Mutations happen, and each one of us has mutations that are specific to us and different from everybody else.
Right.
And so it's not going to, it's where this information is going to really help is if we identify a mutation in a person that's causing disease, we might know what it's actually doing.
Right. And you can put it in the encyclopedia, and the next time it pops up, some doctor somewhere can say, that's what that is.
Exactly.
But you have to experience the mutation before you can.
Right, exactly. Yep.
I'm kind of understanding. But I understand you started your research on fruit flies, and I'm like thinking, okay, a fruit fly is very small to begin with, and I can't imagine how you can get in there and find out all this information.
Yeah, well, so working with the DNA of fruit flies is the same as working with DNA with humans. So
now, a lot of people would say, well, but wait a minute.
Yeah,
I don't look like a fruit fly.
Well, we don't look anything like them.
Yeah.
But you know, their DNA works in a very similar way. So fruit flies have about 15,000 genes, whereas humans have 20. But most of the 15,000 genes that fruit flies have turn out to have sort of analogous genes in humans.
Yeah.
Some of them are almost identical, but some of them are, you know, it's clear that they're related to one another and do similar things.
Yeah.
But the tools we use in the lab to study fruit fly DNA are exactly the same tools that we use to study human DNA.
I mean, like
DNA.
The pipettes and all that stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the computers we use and the DNA sequencers and everything.
Now, we're talking to you, but I'm sure you have a team of folks that are helping you out.
Yeah, exactly. So for instance, my lab, I have 12 people that work in my lab, and then this grant that we recently got from the NIH, there's actually three other laboratories. Two of them are at the University of California in San Diego, and one at Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Yeah.
And so we have a team of basically four labs that are all working together on this one project.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to this grant that we got, there are seven other grants that were funded by the NIH that are working on different aspects of this encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm. What kind of timetables are we looking at before we could actually see some really beneficial science coming out of this?
Well, I think there already is beneficial science. So this new grant that we got is basically part two of determining the encyclopedia, and part one just finished. And so they have a lot of information already. And so we're going forward. So this particular project is going to be funded for 4 years. And so we're really hoping by the end of that, we'll know, you know, a lot more about how our DNA works.
Yeah. And we'll have some sort of a semblance of an encyclopedia.
Exactly. And it'll be, you know, it'll be accessible on the internet, and it's publicly available.
Well, that's key, right?
Yeah. So anyone, you know, this is all funded by
any doctor in the country could
Yeah, doctor and, you know, anybody that wants to. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to do it. You
yeah.
know, just look on the internet and get this information.
Well, I don't think you want me running around in your encyclopedia. Yeah, that'd be a bad idea. I'll tell you right off.
Well, you can't change it, but you can look at it.
One of the things people worry about when they're talking about genetics and all this, the DNA and all, I mean, this has nothing whatsoever to do with cloning or anything like that, correct?
No, not at all. Yeah. This is just taking DNA from, you know, existing cells and just really trying to understand how it works. And this project has nothing remotely to do with cloning or anything like that.
And I understand the Jackson Lab, when it's complete, you're going to be working with those folks as well.
Exactly, and we're already working with them. So they have now, I think, five laboratories that they've hired professors for, and three of them are actually in our building, and my laboratory is already actively collaborating with two of them, and they're hiring more people. So they're, even though they haven't broken ground on their building yet, which I think starts in January, they have people in the ground already, and they're up and running.
Yeah, so everybody's ready to go.
Absolutely.
Have you already started, by the way? Or have you already started?
Yes,
the process?
We started on this particular grant in September. So we're
now how fast can one develop this stuff, or is it just touch and go?
Well, it takes a while to ramp up, but the tools to really do all of this are in hand, and really, what's made all of this possible is these rapid advances in DNA sequencing technology.
Yeah.
Basically use little sort of molecular fish hooks to pull out the pieces we want from cells, and then we sequence the DNA of what comes down with that.
I mean, just the technologies, I mean, molecular fish hooks, and I mean, I mean, this is really teeny tiny, very, very itsy-bitsy work.
You can't see it at all. No.
Yeah.
This is sub-microscopic.
But how do you do it?
Oh, well, so we use, you know, these molecular tricks to pull down different molecules, and then we sequence it. And once we sequence it, it turns into computer code. And so a huge amount of the project is really writing computer code to analyze particular data sets.
Boy, I wish you the best of luck, because I think I heard one of the Jackson Lab people talking about it, what sort of one of their goals is to make prescription medicines especially for a certain DNA type of person, which would virtually eliminate side effects, right?
Exactly. Well, that's the hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, let's hope it all goes well, Doctor.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Brunton Gravely from the UConn Health Center, we'd like to thank you very much.
Well, thank you.